Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
One timeout, they don't take it. Oh, he got it! Oh, he got it! And the Wranglers are moving on!
The Beat.
Shock and awe in college basketball. UNBC makes history in Charlotte.
On 720 WGN.
720 WGN, 5:07. 3 minutes from tip-off. The Loyola Ramblers and the Tennessee Volunteers. We have a question for you as we start off here. Do you want us to constantly update the score? Are people on the edge of their seats as the Ramblers try to get back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since?
Since 1963.
1985, Harry.
What?
Come on. You remember 85, Sweet 16.
Now Frederick Hughes.
Yeah, lost to Georgetown and Patrick Ewing. Bo Rambler was running around. Jim Rose was covering him still for Channel 7. Have you not checked out the YouTube videos? They're unbelievable.
He looks good.
He does.
He really hasn't aged.
He hasn't.
Jim Rose is still in great shape.
Jim Rose isn't always going to be a Channel 7. He's always going to look exactly the same.
And he's always going to be one of the top dressers in all of television.
Smooth. Yeah. Very, very, very smooth.
No need to ask.
Yeah, so where were you when the Loyola Ramblers advanced in round what's now two of your NCAA tournament, Harry?
I was in a place near and dear to your heart. I was in Highland Park.
Oh, really?
Yes.
A little Once Upon a Bagel?
Little
Michaels?
We were temporarily living in Highland Park because we had a big fire in my house.
What?
We had a fire in my house New Year's Day of 83, and so we lived a couple years in Highland Park.
You're talking about 85. Where were you? Not on, what was it, Thursday afternoon this past Thursday?
Oh, yeah. I watched that game from home.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about 85. I had a bunch of friends over. We were going nuts, and that run ended way too soon.
Right. All right. Little informal text poll here, 312-981-7200. How often would you like Rambler updates as the game is about to start?
Well, we have some of the finest newscasters in the country here.
We do.
I think every half hour they could remind people that Loyola's playing.
And you were sitting in for Wendy yesterday?
Yes. I was in for Wendy Snyder, the wonderful Wendy Snyder, who'll be back on Monday. Bill and Wendy, the top WGN show. And we had Sister Jean, the 98-year-old secret weapon of Loyola Ramblers basketball. And Sister Jean was great.
How awesome is Sister Jean?
She's not just a pretty face, Carm. She is in the locker room before the game, after the game. She discusses the game plan with the head coach, with the coaching staff. She sends an email to every single member of the coaching staff and every single player after every single game.
It's a beautiful thing. I was out there last Sunday for Selection Sunday. Mm-hmm. And
did she select you?
She didn't select me, but I got to witness just how incredibly happy she was. The players were, the fans.
It's a good vibe. And, yeah. And by the way, we should point out, talking about Sister Jean, she's not normally in a wheelchair. She's dealing with an injury, but you know, people are like, oh, she's 98, she's in a wheelchair. She's not normally in a wheelchair. She's only been in the wheelchair recently.
Okay.
And she'll be recovered and she'll be back to walking around campus.
Did you watch any of last night's historic upset? The UMBC Retrievers.
Carm, now say it right.
Maryland, Baltimore County Retrievers.
Say it like Pig Vomit would say it in Private Parts.
UMBC. 74-54, the 16 seed over the number one overall seed in the tournament, Harry.
What a trouncing. I mean, what a trouncing. I remember when Princeton almost beat Georgetown. I remember when Michigan State had to go to overtime, I believe, with Murray State. And this game yesterday was just total demolishment. By the way, that is the best that Coach Frank Underwood has looked all year.
Is that right?
Yes. The
okay.
University of Illinois coach was a guest on the panel, and he was as strong as he's... it was as successful a night, a long day. He was there all day. Underwood was very solid on the air. But boy, you know, I thought someday a 16 is going to go down to a 1, but I thought it'd be like a, you know, a last second jumper, a crazy 3-pointer like the way Loyola won.
Right, not the University of Maryland, Baltimore County ripping Virginia.
Virginia couldn't score. They lost 2 games all year, and they could not score yesterday against. And the only reason why Maryland Baltimore County was in that game is because they hit a crazy 3-pointer to beat Vermont in the last second of their tournament,
which is crazy too. And like you go back through the UMBC, you're like, who are these guys? Albany, who did not make the NCAA tournament,
the Patroons.
Yeah, they beat UMBC 83-39.
Right, and they just in
January.
And they just got past the University of Vermont.
The Catamounts?
Yeah, there you are, my man.
No problem, pal. I'm right there for you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, text line saying they would like updates often, Harry. So we'll just somehow discern that. We'll somehow figure it out. 5-3 Loyola. 8-3 Tennessee. We're underway in Dallas.
Anybody texting that they want incorrect updates?
Yeah.
We could do that.
The ball was in the air, man. You know, I'm trying to do multiple things here. Tennessee 8, Loyola 3. It's not going to be a very easy game for the Ramblers, Dad. I love the story. I hope they obviously win today. Porter Moser has been incredible the way he's built that program.
Is he gone?
I think there's a very good chance that Porter will be somewhere else. But a lot of the jobs are being eaten up. I mean, Tom Crean lands in Georgia.
Tom Crean, well paid.
Yeah.
$3.2 million a year for 6 years.
How about that?
I mean, that's not that much more than Izzo's making.
I mean, retire and become a college basketball coach here. Let's just go. We might as well.
Oh, you got to pay your dues. It's not that easy.
I have a new gig for you.
Yes.
This is not college basketball, but I have something for you. Would you like to hear about it, actually?
I am, actually. I'm looking.
Okay, so we're going to transition.
Always looking.
We're going to transition into the Bears and their very, very busy week. But as we move into football, there's an opening, Harry, at Niles North. Are you aware? Mike Garoppolo, the brother of Jimmy Garoppolo, who is now a San Francisco 49er on a 5-year, $137.5 million deal. 29-year-old Mike is leaving the Vikings of Niles North to go hang with his brother in San Fran and be a supportive family member. So they are looking for a new head coach. Now, the bar is not super high right now. They were 3-15 in their last 2 years. You, of course, have a strong Niles North connection.
I do have a strong Niles North connection. I live very close by. I'm, you know, my daughter goes to Evanston High.
Right.
I don't mean she goes to Evanston and she's high. I mean she goes to Evanston High School.
That's very good that you've
I've got a lot of friends that whose kids go to Niles North.
Well, okay, and
my friend Neil, his son DJ, goes there.
See, there you go. You could coach DJ, maybe get him to come out. The AD at Niles North, Brett Bildstein, he, despite the 3-15 record, he said he was impressed by Garoppolo's ability to motivate his players, despite playing in the rough and tumble Central Suburban South. Four of the league's 6 schools made the playoffs in 2017.
That is a tough conference.
Very tough conference. And Niles North is the smallest school in the league, so you are climbing uphill. And so I think you should put in a call. And Bildstein's looking for somebody who's, you know, ready to commit and make their way in the world. And I honestly think that you could get in there with your name and have an instant impact, build a staff. I'd be willing to contribute. Bildstein said that Garoppolo's a tremendous guy who had the kids' best interests at heart. You could do that, Harry.
I definitely have the kids. It's all about the kids.
He also says he's a kid at heart. That's you, is it not?
Yeah.
Always approaches coaching through a player's lens. You're a player's coach here, right?
The Niles North, they're purple, my favorite color.
Yeah, and he said that Coach Garoppolo navigated the move to the CSL South and embraced the challenge. You embrace challenges all the time.
Yeah, like for a while now.
Right? And he always got the kids to work hard. You get me to work hard every week.
Yes, you're a kid.
You crack the whip. And Bilti continued, the CSL South is a beast, but he got the kids to compete and be there on Monday, even after a loss, ready to work, and that's impressive. You, even after a bad show, which rarely happens, but you come ready to work.
I could get, yes. I could get, you know, one of my closest friends is the best high school football coach in the country.
Really?
So I could get John and give me all kinds of... Not just pointers.
Right.
I would just steal his playbook.
You talking about Loyola?
Yes.
Right, right.
I'm talking about the high school Loyola.
Right, I understand. So, question out there, 312-981-7200. Should Harry be the next head coach at Niles North? In the procedural way, next thing you know, you're probably in the NFL.
Now, would I be allowed to do what some of these college coaches are being accused of? Could I, like, give envelopes to kids to get them to transfer?
I don't
think Niles North would go for that.
No, absolutely not. You'd have to be above board.
I would have to have integrity.
I mean, if I'm going to sell you here, I want you to be of high
integrity.
Yes, absolutely.
I would tell them it's a wonderful school with great people, fantastic faculty. It's been there for a long time.
Right.
And it's really close to Old Orchard, so
right.
Like it's, you know, you could be at Shake Shack in like 5 minutes.
Now, can you imagine, by the way, your brother is making $137.5 million with the 80 some odd guaranteed, and you're gonna leave your job, he's a teacher too, go out to support your bro, you're 29 years old, and yes, now the family's got generational wealth that you never thought you'd have, but I would think that'd be a really tough decision. As much as I would like love my brother to the end of the earth and want to be a part of it, I honestly think that would be a very hard decision to leave.
Well, you know, you'd think like, you know, if he went for, you know, they both do the same thing, obviously. They're both busy during football season. So, I mean, he really couldn't go during football season. The best time to be out there with him would be football season. So I don't know if I could leave. Maybe there's something else going on there. Maybe there's a little... you know, job opening. He's talked to John Lynch. There's a little job opening with the Niners organization somewhere.
Could be. All right, let's take a quick time out. The Bears had a busy week, Harry.
They sure did.
Are they going to be in the playoffs?
I
save your answer. I want to know what you think.
Okay, they made two signings that were outstanding.
All right, let's talk about it. 720 WGN.
So 2 weeks ago at the Combine, you know, we talked about the opportunity to improve our team in the coming months. We definitely feel like we're doing that. The first phase of that improvement is taking place with the free agency. We feel very encouraged with the players we've added. With free agency still in play, that's still active right now, the draft fast approaching, there's a lot of opportunities to improve our team. It's exciting right now.
The Bears general manager, Ryan Pace. Very busy week for the Bears, who upgraded an offense that finished 30th in the NFL last year in yardage, 29th in scoring. Allen Robinson from the Jaguars. Taylor Gabriel coming over.
Atlanta.
From the Atlanta Falcons. Trey Burton from the Eagles. Chase Daniel, who started all of two games in his career and is 32 years old. Is that not amazing? Seriously. You just have sat there and have been a backup your entire career. I find it
there was a backup when the Steelers won their 4 Super Bowls. Bradshaw's backup was a guy named Cliff Stout, who wore license plate 18, earned his pension before he ever took a snap on the field in a regular game.
How that's just become a backup quarterback,
or a lefty relief pitcher.
There you go. Cody Parkey also is the Bears' new kicker from the Dolphins.
Cody Parkey is a brilliant under the radar signing. He played at Auburn, and last year with the Dolphins, he was money. He was so money, and he is now money. The Bears gave him $15 million, nine of it's guaranteed. Cody Parkey had an amazing year last year for Miami. He kicked for the Eagles. He's kicked for Cleveland, I believe. And
he's 26 years old. He was 21-23 field goals.
21-23 is outstanding.
Yes. And look,
Pro Bowler in 2014.
I just want to rewind back to, it never made sense to me that they got rid of Robbie Gould and they've been...
That was so bad.
And so I still am skeptical that Cody Parkey is going to be better than Robbie Gould, even at this
age. I didn't say he'd be better than Robbie Gould, but he's going to be better than Aguayo. He's going to be better than...
Connor Barth, the worst kickers ever. Cairo Santos. I mean, it's like it's incredible that they... For whatever reason, John Fox and Ryan Pace and company did not like something about Robbie Gould, who had a sweet moment of redemption with the Niners last year against the Bears. But regardless, let's focus on the good here. Allen Robinson.
Okay, Allen Robinson if healthy, could do an awful lot of good things for this offense. You know, this team needs so much. The team needs offensive line. The team needs wide receivers. And, you know, Trey Burton was the third string tight end in Philadelphia, probably the starting tight end here with the Bears.
Second round draft pick, right? For talking about Robinson and a burner, but third play of the season last year, Harry.
Yeah, early.
Tears his ACL, and you're talking about Cam Meredith, who is, you know, coming off a knee injury. You've got Kevin White,
Kevin White, who cannot be trusted.
Right. And so I'm just pointing out that I like Allen Robinson. He's young. He's been productive. You didn't pay through the moon to get him. But there is something about, do we really need another guy coming off of a major injury? Now, he's super confident that he's going to be fine. And I get it. People come back from ACLs all the time. But there's just an ounce of skepticism for me in going after a guy like that who's super young and coming off a major injury.
Right. I tell you, there's another receiver out there right now who would be delightful. That's Michael Crabtree.
I like Michael Crabtree.
Boy, how do you not like Michael Crabtree? With Green Bay letting Jordy Nelson go, Oakland pounced on Jordy Nelson, and they let Michael Crabtree go. They also got the hamster muscle. They also got Doug Martin. So they really added some premier skill position players on that Raider offense.
Plus, you know, the Cleveland Browns continue to be pretty aggressive this offseason. I like Jarvis Landry.
It's the only time Cleveland can win is in the offseason.
Well, but normally, like, their stuff is curious. Like, I think Jarvis Landry catches the football. He's a slot guy. He doesn't have the speed.
Right. He's not a guy who stretches the field, but he led the NFL in receptions last year.
Right. Exactly. And the Bears need everything. Sweet to have a speed guy. But I wouldn't mind. They gave up a fourth and a seventh round pick for Jarvis Landry.
It seems like not enough. Like they could have gotten. Couldn't Miami have gotten more? One second they're talking about he's the franchise tag guy, and the next second they're getting a fourth and a seventh, and they're happy with it.
Yeah, and then the other thing that was interesting, the big news this week that we didn't mention, Kyle Fuller back on a 4-year. $56 million deal, and a lot of that money is guaranteed up front.
Green Bay wanted to steal him.
So Green Bay makes the offer, and the Bears match it. Really bizarre that the Bears could have waited to match the offer with the Packers, and it would have held up their free agent money for 5 days,
mm-hmm.
but they just instantly matched it. Why not, like, sit there in that window and let the Packers think they're getting them and hold them up?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any
sense.
4.5 days
later, you make the move.
Right. And are you doing that as a courtesy to Kyle Fuller?
Send him a message of how important he is?
Right. Yeah. Kyle, hey, we're going to match it, but we're going to match it in 4.5 days from now, just so you know.
Mess Green Bay up.
We're going to do our best to take a little competitive non-courtesy to the Packers, because they had that long to match the deal. Adam Hogue was tweeting about that last night. I thought it was very interesting that the Bears just, for whatever reason, rushed to do it. We got to take a quick timeout here. Is that right, Dan? Timeout before news? All right, timeout before news. Listen, the Bears, we could talk about a little bit more after 5:30. I think you got to be excited about what they're doing, but there's one key that we did not discuss there, Harry, that I'd like to mention after 5:30.
Let's do it. And also a couple of I want to ask you what you thought the big moves were around the league.
Fair. Yep, we'll do that right after the 5:30 news, 720 WGN.
I met my love by the gasworks wall.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hoax.
Yeah,
it is the Pogues.
The who?
Pogues, baby.
The Pogues?
Yeah.
P-O-G-U-E-S.
Dan Long, do you know who the Pogues are?
He picked it.
Doesn't mean he knows who they are.
Yeah.
The Pogues.
Dan Long's on the cutting edge of music, man.
No, he's not.
Shane McGowan.
He talks
the talk.
What's that, Bob?
He talks the talk.
Would I see these people at the Old Town School of Folk?
The Pogues? I don't think so. I'm not sure if they're broken up or not. They reunited a couple of years ago. I mean, Shane McGowan was known for his penchant for Guinness. And so that kept him off the road.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, a singer, let alone an Irish singer.
They were the ones, they made their big national debut on Saturday Night Live around like 88 or 89, and the lyrics were incomprehensible, and Dennis Miller made fun of them. for that later on in the show.
Rude.
Of course, some of Dennis Miller's vocabulary is uncomprehensible.
That's right, but for other reasons entirely.
Yes, that's very true. But no, we got good music, man. We got some great Irish artists. You know, we got Boomtown Rats we're going to play, Thin Lizzy.
Planxty. Planxty's the world's greatest Irish band, though.
Oh, Planxty. I don't...
A-N-X-T-Y.
I'm not familiar with Planxty.
That's, I mean...
We're taking the show in a whole other direction. Yeah. Sorry, Carm.
We're going to play the Belfast Cowboy.
I'm down. It's Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's one of the great holidays all year long. I love it.
Especially in Chicago.
Yes. I mean, the entire city's out. I think it's incredibly cool. Go out and enjoy yourself.
The entire city is sloshed, was my impression on the L ride in today.
Well, good. That's, if you are sloshed, you should be on the L. That's a great place to be
good
sloshed.
Point. You don't have a driver?
Me? No, I don't.
Bob?
Actually, you know, I walk sometimes here from Logan Square where I live just to get a nice good little workout, and today I was like...
Whoa, where in Logan Square roughly?
Milwaukee and Fullerton.
You walk from Milwaukee and Fullerton.
Whoa, that's a schlep, man.
It's a schlep. It's about an hour plus. It's a nice way to start to invigorate yourself before coming here.
God, Bob Kessler is officially my hero. Take a nice hour walk to work on a weekend. That's the way to live life here.
You think Jennings is walking in tonight?
I'm going to bet against that one.
David, did you walk in tonight? He's shaking his head no.
Yeah. Well, why get dog Jennings in
here? I'm not dogging him.
That was a flat-out dog.
It was not dogging.
You just blatantly threw Jennings out of the exercise bus.
We have two guys. No, please. Jennings and I are twin sons of a different mother. Okay?
This is true.
We have two guys do updates on the show.
That's true.
Okay? So one of them said that they did. I was just trying to find out what the other one said.
Okay. My bad. I read into it wrong. David Jennings will be taking over the news at 6 o'clock, and he did not walk in here. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way, everybody. To you too, Harry. I love that you wore the green White Sox jersey.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. So,
yes. Talking about NFL free agents.
Yes. The my favorite part of the week was this part of the week. The Denver Broncos have a new quarterback who was originally spent last season with the Minnesota Vikings getting them to the NFC Championship.
For $2 million.
For $2 million.
Well, Ryan Pace gave the store to Mike Glennon.
$18.5 million.
The Vikings gave $2 million to Case Keenum, who had the miracle play to get him in the championship game and was one win away from taking the team to the Super Bowl.
Well, John Elway signed him to a 2-year $36 million deal now, so he's making Glennon money, but that doesn't mean that John Elway knows your name.
I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum.
You just gave a dude $36 million. You don't even know his name.
Hey, Casey Keenum.
Can we get that one more time, Dan Long, please? One more time.
I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum.
Casey Kasem.
Hey, John, we need a quarterback. You messed up with Blake. You messed up with Brock Osweiler. You messed up with Paxton Lynch. You messed up with all due respect to Trevor Siemian. Yes, go out and get Case Keenum. Give him 36. He was great last year with Minnesota, man. That's going to be that's the answer.
Just get him that on his jersey.
But I think it's actually a very good signing for Denver. And I also think
it's an upgrade. And you know, and look, I don't want to upset Dave Ennett or any Northwestern people here. Trevor Siemian played a lot of games for the Broncos, was given a very big chance, had a couple of good starts, but they needed something better.
You're not going to upset Dave Ennett. He understands. And Trevor Siemian's making a nice living for himself right now in the NFL. He's fine. Excuse me. Drew Brees, by the way, is back with the New Orleans Saints. Loyalty, Harry. Team-friendly deal. 2 years, around $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to me, too. That's considered loyalty nowadays. He's taking less money. What a guy. He's getting paid $25 million a year. I get it. Quarterbacks are incredibly important. They help you win football games. It's a passing league. But it's just amazing what everyone's getting paid. And then 3 years, $84 million, all guaranteed for Kirk Cousins to go to Minnesota.
Who's worth it. And the Jets offered him a lot more than that. And a big trade by the Jets today. Jets and the Colts flipped their picks. And the Jets are giving 3 extra draft picks to the Colts as well. So Jets go from the 6th pick in the draft to the 3rd pick in the draft. Giants are picking second, Jets are picking third. Tell me New York's not going to be vibing, and it's a short trip to Philly where they're holding the draft, and then the Colts get two second-rounders this year and a second-rounder next year.
Right, right. Man, that's...
It's a lot.
Everyone says they're trained up to draft a quarterback. What quarterback are they taking?
What quarterback haven't they taken? That's all they do is draft quarterbacks and fail. You could see why that you could see why they would do it again.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't. There's no standout guy. There isn't. I guess there's a Mitchell Trubisky there for you, which that was one thing. Wrapping up the rewinding real quick to the Bears conversation mm-hmm. we were having before. Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, who is a fine fellow and all, but like some of the things he says, just it's like, are you serious? He went out of his way to say that the players that they're signing, the Allen Robinsons of the world, there's just a great buzz around the NFL, around Mitchell Trubisky, that people want to play for Trubisky. I don't want to go. I mean, I don't know what people are saying, but I personally do not believe that. I'm sorry.
I think Matt Nagy has a lot to do with it.
Matt Nagy would make sense. Right. I like what the Chiefs are doing. I like their offense. I like how successful they were with Alex Smith and company. That would make sense.
Right.
I highly doubt people say, you know, I really like that Mitchell Trubisky. Come on, man. That is, you're lying. He has to be lying. You are moving the line. Maybe they're saying, hey, I really think that Matt Nagy's going to help Mitchell Trubisky, and I don't want to be a part of that. Maybe they're saying that at best, right? There's no way that these guys are like, I really love that completion that Mitchell Trubisky had against the Baltimore Ravens on 3rd and 11, one of the six times all year he looked like an NFL quarterback.
So, okay, so what quarterbacks, who's coming first? Okay, there's two guys that played in L.A., right?
Josh Rosen.
And Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
UCLA
and
USC.
Yeah.
Okay. Baker Mayfield was up for the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've got the kid from North Dakota. Wyoming, sorry.
Josh Allen.
Right. Who can on his knees throw a ball 60 yards.
Right.
Pretty impressive. You got Lamar Jackson, who won the Heisman a year ago.
Okay, but not going to be an NFL quarterback.
He's going to be an NFL receiver.
Right. So, where are we going here, Harry?
Who do you think they're trading up to draft?
Guys. If I had to guess, I have no idea. It's all a coin flip.
And is Cleveland taking a quarterback at number one? Because
I don't think they are. If you're going to go and trade for Tyrod Taylor, then you went out and said they signed AJ McCarron too, right? So now you got two quarterbacks. And you're going to draft one. We're just going to keep on adding on and adding on. I don't see that.
They have more needs than the Bears do.
Right. It's hard to guess at what the New York Jets are going to do. I think that's above my pay grade, Harry. I'm going to be honest. That is flat out above my pay grade.
They keep drafting quarterbacks and failing. The last time they traded up to draft somebody this high, it was Matt Sanchez.
Oof.
Right, and they've drafted Geno Smith, and they've drafted Christian Hackenberg, and they just keep failing with all these picks.
The last thing I saw this week on quarterbacks is that people are starting to think that Baker Mayfield is the best one. He's undersized, reminds me of Doug Flutie. That may be a little bit too old of a reference for some here, although
I think Flutie's pretty much, you know.
I'm not super excited about a Doug Flutie or a modern day Baker Mayfield. I don't mind the fact that he acts like a clown on the field. He's a college kid and, you know, being a little braggadocious at times.
Didn't he try to put the flag, the Oklahoma flag, into the...
He taunted your Jayhawks, man.
Yeah, he did. And he also, when they knocked off Ohio State in the horseshoe, didn't he try to, like, stick the flag in there?
Yes.
And the flag couldn't go in that type of turf?
Right, right. We got your friend on the line here. We were supposed to talk to him a little bit ago, but he's calling in now, so we have to say hello to Farmio. Ed Farmer, your radio.
Hey, guys.
How are you, Ed Farmer? Thanks for jumping on.
I'm a little tired. You know, they didn't fly home exactly last night early. I sat in the tarmac in Phoenix for an hour and a half.
What did you do that for?
I flight at the 3 hours.
Fermia, we're talking about something that's right up your alley. We're talking about who's getting picked in the first round. Could be two Notre Dame offensive linemen that go early. Quentin Nelson's supposed to be...
Yeah, the left side of the line.
Yeah, Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, they're good players. They're great guys, too. I know both of them. Yeah, they're great guys. That, you know, that doesn't translate into great football players, but these guys are great linemen. They really are.
Right, and Mike McGlinchey is the other guy. He's the tackle.
Yeah, I know Michael well. Yeah.
The pride,
great people.
The pride of Evergreen Park, St. Rita High School. Ed Farmer with us here at 720 WGN. Did you, you know, Farmer, did you ever think you'd see the day that the White Sox would be on WGN?
You know, I didn't. You don't know. You never know those. I mean, I grew up watching Jack Brickhouse and Vince Lloyd and Ron Sando. And a lot of the Cub players were friends of mine when I was playing. I mean, I met Ferguson Jenkins when I was 18 years of age. Later, he became my teammate with the Texas Rangers. Every one of those guys was generous, really generous to me. Ernie Banks, I used to see him all the time. Billy Williams was my hitting coach. Well, not mine, but a player's hitting coach in Oakland. I mean, I had poor big league hits, so he wasn't my coach. But, yeah, every one of those guys. And I grew up as a White Sox fan, and I've told this story many times. My mother walked me and my brother Tom and Dan into Comiskey Park behind home plate. I was 5 years old, and I was approaching 5'1". And she walks us in, goes up the stairs behind home plate. And I looked. I'd never been in a baseball stadium before, any kind of, you know, venue like that. Mom, there's a baseball field in this building. I'm going to play here someday. Unbelievable, you know. And just... very blessed with my life. Transplant, but very blessed with my life, certainly.
5'1", man, that's Harry Chapa's size.
I was 6'1", 11", Harry. I was bigger than you at 11.
Fermio, four hits.
Crazy.
I'm going to say you can name at least three of the four pitchers that you got the hits off of.
You know, one was a bunt single, and I think everybody fell down, so I don't really count that, but it was one of the four. The best one I had was a base hit to center field at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, and Pete Rose was on deck, and left-hander out there, and he threw me a fastball on 2-2. I said, he's not going to walk me. He's going to throw me a fastball. I want to hit this thing back at the middle. And I fouled the pitch off, and I said, I'm still getting the fastball because he doesn't want to go 3-2 and walk me. I was a runner at second base, and I hit a rocket in the center field. Pete Rose goes, you were looking fastball, weren't you? I said, I always look fastball. What was the difference? I never get a hit, though. They released him the next day.
That's not good for you. Do you have the ball from your first hit?
No, I don't. I don't save a lot of things like that, Harry. As you know, I give that away. If people want that, I give that to them. I don't know why they want it, but I give them that. I don't save uniforms or give those to charity if they wanted them. I gave them to charity. There's a couple hanging at the golf course in Bridgman, Michigan, Lost Dunes, which was one time ranked in the top 100, and they wanted my jerseys, and I had the Phillies jersey and a White Sox jersey. And they embarrassed me by hanging those in the men's locker room. So I didn't know they were going to do that, but that's what they wanted. And I gave one to Chris Sale a couple of years ago and one to John Garland signed with the collar. I wanted to give Sale one because he cut one up that we have personally. Those jerseys. Yeah, so I gave him that. Also had him arrested once, too. So that's another story.
I'd like to hear that story. That's Ed Farmer with us here. Please.
Yeah. What happened, guys, is he cut me off twice going to the ballpark. And I was going in excess of 60 miles an hour. He cut me off not once but twice. And I said, who's this guy with this out-of-state Florida plate? And he ran out of the parking lot. And I said, Sale, why did he cut me off? I get in the clubhouse, and the guys are all on me. And I called one of my friends who was off duty. He followed him downtown to 12th and the Dan Ryan Roosevelt Road, pulled him over. And he said to him, I want to leave both of your hands outside the window because I don't know if you have a firearm. Excuse me. And he said, grabbing the car door handle. So he's 6'6", you know, weighs 185 pounds. And he goes, where's your driver's license? And with some trepidation, I'm sure, walked to the car. And he goes, it's over there in the glove box. He goes, I want you to reach across one hand. So he looked, you know, he quickly was a rubber band man stretching with one hand on the door handle outside and one in the glove box. Came out with his license. He said it better match the out-of-state plates. They were from Florida. And he said, what are you doing on our city? He said, I'm a sports figure. He goes, I've never heard of you before. Well, Chris Sally, are you a punter for the Bears? You're 6'6 and 180 pounds. And sheepishly, he goes, no, I'm a sports figure in another sport. He goes, well, you must be, are you a soccer player? He goes, no. He goes, basketball? He goes, no, I'm a pitcher. He goes, you must be with the Cubs because I'm a White Sox. And he goes, no, I'm not with the Cubs. I'm with the White Sox. He goes, I've never heard about you. Are you any good? He goes, I'm a 3- or 4-time All-Star. He goes, geez, I go to a lot of games. You must know Ed Farmer then. He goes, yeah, I know Farmer real well. He goes, it's your lucky day. See you later. Get out of here. So I didn't say anything. And that was in July. And he's getting on the plane, coming down the aisle, and they have to pass me. I'm in row 20. And he comes down the plane. This is 2 months later. I said, you got a second, Sailor? He goes, yeah. I said, did a friend of mine pull you over and you used my name to get out of a ticket? He goes, yeah. I said, I sent him. And he just stopped. He looked at me. He stopped and he started laughing. He goes, that was great. I was about to go to the bathroom on my pants. I couldn't believe it. I could never get him again. So he took it with. He took it very well. So that's why he got the jersey. I didn't want to do that to him, but I thought it was justified. I had a kick out of it.
So the moral of this story is: do not mess with Ed Farmer because you have people.
Sure, I'll tell you, I know a few people, but it just happened to work out. He was off duty, and Sale came out, and he followed him down to 12th Roosevelt Road, and the Dan pulled him over with the lights on.
Car,
one of those cars that he's got one of those unmarked cars.
When I first started in radio, and I'm back to being nobody, but when I was really nobody, Farmio was in the studio and he goes, I want you at the ballpark tomorrow. I want you there about 4 o'clock. Took me in the clubhouse. We went locker to locker. Ozzy, this is Harry. He's a teammate. Frank, this is Harry. He's a teammate. If they call you to come out with Harry, you're going on with Harry. And the other thing that was really cool about Farmio is we were in the dugout talking and they were playing the Mariners. And A-Rod walks by, and A-Rod was surrounded by media, and he leaves them to come over and go, Farmio! He had to give, Farmio knuckles.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just a professional courtesy with Alex Rodriguez. Not real happy with people who take certain drugs to perform better, but that was their choice. But A-Rod came over that day, yeah, absolutely.
Well, since you just brought that up, Ed, do you think those guys belong in the hall?
No.
Yeah.
Let me give that some thought. No, they knew what they were doing. They took advantage of the situation. I'm pretty sure that almost every one of them would have gotten in the Hall of Fame without taking that.
Yeah.
And they weren't alone. Let me say that. There's probably people in the Hall of Fame that never got caught. And they were sensational athletes, too. Roger Clemens, he was going to get in no matter what.
Yep.
Barry Bonds, he was going to get in. He was a teammate of mine at AAA. And he had a world of ability. And he didn't have to do that, but he wanted to set the record. And you live with the records now that certainly are a little tarnished as far as we look at it in sports anyway.
Yeah,
but it also revved up people in San Francisco when he got there from Pittsburgh.
Farmio, we are up against a break, but if we're doing White Sox Weekly next week, maybe you could join us then at the appointed time?
Yeah, we've got the game Friday. The two games are the last ones in spring training at WGN. You were asking me about that. When I was growing up in Chicago, the WGN flag was flying out of our booth where we're in right now, you know, across the street at Comiskey. And that was always something for me. I used to get home. I lived so close to St. Thomas More grade school. I would come home for lunch and watch Bozo Circus. And I always wanted to get on with the grand prize game. Now we do the grand prize game every night for this baseball season for the next 3 years on GN. Couldn't be happy. The people, you guys, everybody connected with this broadcast not just me and Darren doing it. It's everybody at WGN, everybody at the White Sox joining hands. We're going to give you the best we can give you every single night. Because of last night's broadcast developed into something that got an award, tonight's going to have to be just as good, if not better. That's what we believe.
That's a beautiful thing. We're thrilled to be your partner, Ed. Thrilled to be with the White Sox.
Look forward to it. We're going to call that game on 29th of this month from Kansas City, and hopefully we'll call a winner. Then we're off to Toronto for three, returning home to Guaranteed Rate Field to play host to the Detroit Tigers. I can't wait to beat them at home. And a renaissance going on with our ball club. You guys know it. Young talent coming into the big leagues. We're going to have some guys get at second base. Yoan Moncada is a special player. That's a look to the future also.
There is a buzz in this city for the White Sox. And we're not talking a Tony Phillips buzz. We're talking like a strong...
Jeez.
Got to get that one in there, that little slapshot, Harry. Okay, bye.
Strong fan buzz.
Run record. We'll start saving some of those.
Farmio and DJ behind the mic for every Sox game on WGN Radio.
Farmio, thanks.
Guys, thanks for having me. Next week, let's talk.
All right. Okay? Ed Farmer.
Hey, guys, go Sox.
Great White Sox play-by-play broadcaster on 720 WGN. Ready, Harry?
Yes, sir.
Say it with me. Ready? UMBC. UMBC.
UMBC.
UMBC. UMBC. UMBC.
Greatest upset in the history of college basketball.
The University of Maryland, Baltimore County, which if you told me that was a school, I would actually tell you that I don't believe you. Like, I know
it hasn't
that it's
been a school very long.
It's hard to believe that a 16 seed beat a 1 seed, let alone the number 1 seed overall in the entire tournament. And now we have the star of the tournament. It's not the head coach. It's not any of the players. But it's the director of multimedia communications and sports marketing at UMBC, Zach Seidel, who was on Twitter tweeting from the UMBC athletics account. And everybody in social media now loves you, Zach Seidel. So congratulations. I think you guys are going to win it all, by the way.
Oh, thanks. You know, I look forward to the parade down in downtown Baltimore in April after we beat Kentucky or something. You know, that'll be great.
So, Zach, you at a certain point, you know, it everybody kept waiting for Virginia to make the run. But at a certain point, you must have felt like, oh, my God, this is going to happen. I have to terrorize the Twitter universe.
I went into the day, you know, thinking, you know, let's just have some fun with it. And do it, and I only had one tweet planned, and it was for Jarris Lyles. If he scored 15 points, he was going to become the all-time single-season point holder. And, you know, once the game started and Seth Davis tweeted Virginia Sharpie, you know, I've been at UMBC 10 years. I have UMBC in my blood. That kind of got me going. I was like, hey, man, you don't know us. You know, don't count us out yet. And I started doing that, started getting reaction from people, you know, and then as the game went on and it stayed closer, I turned to a colleague of mine from the America East Conference who was there, who's their social media person. And I'm like, hey, we're tied at the half. Anything can happen. Let's have some fun with this and see if we can get the conference and the school on the map here.
Yeah, and you said, by the way, at that time, which was one of your great tweets, second half about to start, no matter what happens, we just want you all to remember we are conveniently located just outside of Baltimore and have stellar academics. So you weren't convinced at that point, were you, Zach?
And then I wasn't convinced. I just wanted people to know, like, we were getting a lot of tweets, you know, people saying, oh, you're still going to lose by 20 and stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that I put my mark in there that no matter what happened, you know, we played that one great half and that people who were tuning in for the second half because the 16th seed was tied with the number one overall seed. And if people were tuning in just to see it, even if Virginia went on a run to start the second half, you know, if they saw that tweet, they at least know where we are and that we're good academically.
Just wanted on the record here, Zach, that I did a video for fansided.com before the tournament and did predict that the number one seed that would lose first would be Virginia. It's the only thing that I got right the entire tournament. I had Arizona winning the whole thing. But I didn't have you guys beating them, and I don't want to diminish the accomplishment, but I didn't think Virginia was very good. That doesn't offend you at all, does it?
No, I mean, it was, you know, they're missing their sixth man of the year. That obviously hurt them tremendously. And you know, it was, you know, when they announced that we were playing them in the first round, it was one of those things where those of us who have followed the team all year, it wasn't like a normal, like, oh, we're just a 16 seed, we're going to go play a one. It was like, hey, guys, you know, our style matches up very well with them. You know, we run, we have some fun, and we knew that, you know, they struggle. They're not the best offensive team. They're the best defensive team. We knew that if we could hit shots from the outside, we could make a game of it.
So what were some of your favorite tweets that you were proudest of last night in the moment? Because as you said, you had no idea this was going to happen this way.
I think the one you mentioned at the second half, the one where I said, you know, we're conveniently located and we have great academics. Someone tweeted that we're going to have 400% admission increase. And I was like, woo, new buildings. you know, I made a typo on buildings, and that one's haunting me a bit. But I was a little excited at the time. And then another one, the one where Virginia was starting to make a run midway through, and they cut it to 12, and Coach Odom called timeout. And, like, you could feel the momentum shifting a bit. And I put out, you know, Virginia goes on a run, just like everyone said they were going to, and Coach Odom has to call timeout as we regroup and try and recover from this insurmountable 12-point lead that we have.
All right. Can you, Zach, first of all,
K-State is up next.
No problem, right?
Yeah, no, K-State's very good. Coach Weber's great. You know.
He had his time in Illinois. This is a winnable game here, Zach. Don't take some chips off the table now.
Hey, man, in the tournament, anything can happen, as we just saw. You know, I know he was at Illinois, and he had that near-perfect season way back in, I believe, what was it, 04?
03, and, yeah, 03, 04.
03, yes, yeah, so I was just 04. In middle school then. I was a little one. But, you know, it's anything can happen. You know, if we play the way we did yesterday, you know, the guys on the team, and, you know, my tweets have nothing to do with it. If they play that way, then, hey, they got a chance against anybody.
Don't sell yourself short now. I think your tweets were key.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that they were looking at him from the bench and during free throws. I'm sure that that's what they were looking at.
Well, we look forward, Zach, to matching up when the Chicago Loyola Ramblers meet UMBC in whatever round it will be. I got to figure that one out here. But we're coming for you, pal, via Loyola, all right?
All right, tell Porter Moser I said hi.
Yeah, hey, Zach, I went to Kansas. It will not be hard for me to root against Kansas State tomorrow.
I mean, I know how much Kansas and Kansas State don't like each other, but I love how Bill Snyder always wears those 1998 bowl jackets every game and doesn't care. So you got to respect someone who just wears whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, you got to feel like you're the tournament darlings at this point.
I mean, I've never been anyone's darling, but I'm sure the team is. You know, it's definitely fun, and it's, you know, I'm in downtown Charlotte right now eating my first meal of the day. I didn't go to bed until 6:30 in the morning, and I'm wearing a UMBC hat, and, like, random people are stopping me on the street going, oh, my God, Maryland, Baltimore County. Like, before, you know, I never knew what to say. Like, people were like, oh, what's UMBC? And I had to spell it out. They're like, Maryland, Baltimore, what? And now, like, people in Charlotte are like, I know you guys. I'm like, cool.
What kind of classes do they have at Maryland, Baltimore County? I mean, I got a degree from Iowa, Zach, but I didn't exactly focus all the time. I probably could use a little brush up on some subjects. What's the forte of a UMBC?
We are a great STEM institution.
Huge.
We have a top level, you know, engineering program. Our president, Dr. Freeman Hrabowski, has been voted repeatedly one of the best college presidents in the country. He marched with Dr. King when he was younger.
Wow.
He's amazing. He's an amazing guy. He's a great speaker. And he really puts forth, you know, diversity and STEM education. And, you know, we're one of the top 15 schools in the country in undergraduate education. I mean, I wasn't STEM. I was media. But, you know, the teachers at the school really care. And, like, it feels like, you know, one-on-one. Every teacher knows who you are. They want to help you learn. And the goal of the school is to make sure everyone gets into a great grad school, gets some PhDs.
Other than yourself, Zach, are there any famous alumni for a UMBC?
There is. Duff Goldman, the Ace of Cakes, he went there. We got him to tweet about it. The U.S. Surgeon General.
Who? Jeff
went there.
Jeff Goodman, the ESPN reporter. What'd you say?
Jeff Goldblum, the guy that was in all of
Jurassic
Fine
Park.
Yeah.
Duff
Goldman, the guy who... The Ace of Cakes guy who was at that cake baking reality show. But, you know, we're a small school. We're only 50 years old. So, you know, we have a lot of famous people in the STEM world and engineering doing great things. And we're trying to work on building up the arts and liberal sciences part of that.
Bottom line, you beat you're the first school in the history of all schools to be a 16 seed of the NCAA tournament to knock off a one seed. No one will ever take that away from you, Zach Seidel.
Zach, here's a little gift from Carm, myself, everybody at WGN Radio in Chicago. This is free. You need to get a 16 jersey on your mascot from this point on.
That's true.
We have the 50 jersey from the 50th anniversary, but I'm sure we'll have some fun marketing with that next year. We got a brand new $85 million arena that we just opened up in February,
what?
So I'm sure that place will fill out nicely.
You went $85 million arena?
An event center, yes, for our graduations, for speakers and stuff like that. I mean, we just hosted our first concert there last week. The Globetrotters were there Thursday. I missed it. I'm here.
UMBC is officially, I mean, forget about Allen Fieldhouse.
$85 million arena.
This is insane.
How did they know?
Zach?
Yes.
I just, one more congratulations to you, man. This is,
thank you very much.
My bracket was so bad, I needed something this out of the ordinary so other people will kind of join me in the patheticness, and you guys have done it. This is and I hope you go all the way, honestly.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I would have picked Chick-fil-A to beat Virginia before you guys.
Hey, man, Chick-fil-A, we love Chick-fil-A. It's the hottest spot on campus. I said the other day, Jairus Lyles will never have to buy Chick-fil-A on our campus ever again. I mean, he's good for life there.
You go original or spicy there, Zach?
I'm original. Yeah. Polynesian sauce.
Yeah, all day.
Never
all day.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. All right, Zach Seidel, congratulations, man. You're the director of multimedia communication, sports marketing, digital media, volleyball, and softball. You don't even work for the basketball team, yet you took him to the next level. Congrats.
Thank you very much.
All right, Zach Seidel. That's awesome. That's big time right there, Harry.
That's awesome.
How's he been there for 10 years and they haven't put him on hoops? Volleyball and softball after 10 years? This is a tough athletic department.
How are they spending $85 million on their facility?
I don't know. But UMBC, man, it's a whole other animal. All right, quick timeout. We're going to have
We had something fun for you guys coming up.
Very fun.
We needed somebody to sing an Irish song, so we went to the number one singer in all of Chicago. No offense to Eddie Vedder. But we're talking like, you know, singer or sports related.
Big time in studio guest. Big time. 720 WGN. 720. Yes. The Jackal returns. Back in studio, Mike Jacobson for a moment. Certainly enjoying his St. Paddy's Day.
Uh-huh.
Hi there, anthem singer Jim Cornelison in studio. Harry, this is not a regular day here at WGN. At least on a Saturday, we don't get royalty like this. Jim, thanks for coming by.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Jim, I wish that the team on the ice during the game was having as strong a season as your team on the ice right before the game. You've never sounded better, Jim.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you. Yeah, we all want better things, and I know that they're coming down the road.
Yep. Yes, next year.
Yep.
It's one down year. It's one down year, and the Hawks will be right back next season.
Yep.
So we're gonna have a little special treat here after the 6:30 news. We're not gonna do any. We're gonna do it. People can call in. And they can request a song, and you're going to sing for them? Is that true?
Well, we can try that.
You've really got to start coming to the pre-show meeting.
Did we not say that? I talked to you.
We've done that before, but here's the caveat. I'm kind of a pop culture moron, so it might take a lot of requests before we hit one that I know.
Okay.
In honor of St. Patrick's, what we were thinking of is, tell me if you like this or not, but in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Are we on the air?
He's got a couple of, but this is just a test. This is like just a test run. It's good. It's rehearsal.
Yeah.
Just a rehearsal. Thank goodness.
Thank God.
So Jim Cornelison, the top national anthem singer in the country, he is going to sing in honor of St. Patrick's Day a couple of classic Irish songs.
Even better. I didn't even want to hear One Night in Bangkok if somebody was going to call and ask for that. And it's good that we're not doing that.
Would you sing a little of that?
Yes, Harry, I would. And under the right circumstances for the right
One
amount
night
of money.
In Bangkok makes a hard man crumble.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know any of the words after that, but that's solid. Very good, Harry.
Yeah.
Do you know the rest? Can you do the next line?
I'm new.
Right. Well, we have to pull it up, but we could do it. Okay. So Jim Cornelison, anthem singer, will be with us right after 6. And we're going to sing some Irish songs.
Yes,
on St. Patrick's
Day. How's that sound?
You
like that?
I don't think you can find that anywhere else on the radio right now. In fact, I guarantee it.
And think of what you have to pay. Think of what you'd have to pay Tuesday night to have him sing for you.
Very.
Think of what you know when the Avalanche are in town.
Very true. Very true.
And now tonight you're going to get this for free.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we get quick timeout news coming up. Get you an update on the Ramblers and then songs from Jim on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. About to have a special treat for you in studio here as Jim Cornelison is getting ready to sing for you, not the national anthem like he normally would, but special songs for St. Patrick's Day. He's warming up in the bullpen right now here. I don't know if people can faintly hear that on the microphone.
Right.
I can hear it.
And the Blackhawks are on our air tomorrow night, the St. Louis Blues.
Very, very, yes.
Blues and the Hawks are having similar disappointing seasons.
Yes, indeed. This is amazing watching Jim warm up here as he's getting ready to. We're going to get some U2 here, huh?
This is how I feel when I see you get ready, prepping for the show.
Really?
The same way that you're feeling now watching Jim sing.
Yeah, I just want to mention here before Jim comes in here and sings that the Loyola Ramblers are 12 minutes away from going back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1985. They lead Tennessee 43-39. So we will keep you up to date with the scores here and the city. If they pull it off, Harry, it is going to be a story and a half.
It's awesome.
And it would be really, really, really cool. It's one thing to win one game. It's awesome to win a game, but you only get like 2 days of juice, right? You win on Thursday, you're going to play on Saturday. You win on Friday, you're going to play on Sunday. But
right.
If you win the first weekend, you get the whole week of coverage. I mean, we know about Sister Jean. We're going to know about Janitor, whoever, and everything else. It'll be awesome to like uncover whatever stories come out this week.
And the other thing will happen is people will get confident. People won't think, oh, you know, they just, you know, Miami wasn't ready for them. Miami didn't take them seriously. If they can come out of the gate and knock off these two teams, then I think a lot of people will think, hey, how far can they go?
Yeah. Now I like to officially name that I think Jim is hiding in the production studio because he doesn't want to come out and sing right now. I think he's getting cold feet.
Well, let's do a quick break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and he will belt out two special St. Patty's Day songs.
All right, Dan. Dan Long, we're going to take a quick break and then we're promising you Jim will have warmed up sufficiently, and then he's coming out to sing for you. Amy Goode, the Saturday Night Special, coming up as well. 720 WGN. All right, we're ready.
It's T.O.P. to 88988.
All right, we're ready to go here. Now, there was a major... See, there's something's been going on. Jim Cornelison, at Anthem Singer, is ready to sing for us. Now, you originally were going to sing a U2 song, and you've called an audible.
I've called an audible, yes.
Instead of doing a U2 song, he's going to do a U2 song.
From one to another. We moved from where? What were we originally going to do?
We were going to do
With or without
I still
you?
Haven't found what you're looking
oh, still
for, which it is, as it turns out, very, very high.
A little the octave not necessarily where you like to live. So what are we doing?
It's not where I want to live at all.
I think you'll recognize it.
Okay,
when you hear it. So this is the first of two songs, and of course tomorrow night Blackhawks play here 6:00. Chris Bowden's got the pregame 6:30. John Weideman, Troy Murray, Hawks, and the Blues throw out the records when they get together, especially this year, especially tomorrow night. Please throw out the records. And Jim Cornelison will be on the ice, as he always is, with the national anthem. But first, on the beat with Carmen myself, here's Jim Cornelison on St. Patty's Day.
Dan, let me prepare him just so he knows where he's coming in here. I forgot my music theory already. I'll give you four measures of 8 counts. So it'll be 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay, Dan.
Clear as mud, baby.
I'm confused.
This is a big time deal right here.
Yeah. If I turn around and look at you, that means I'm waiting for you to point at me. How about that?
Yeah, I could have just cued you probably.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's all sit back and relax.
Yeah.
St. Patty's Day, Jim Cornelison.
See the stone set in your eyes. See the thorn twist in your side. I wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate. On a bed of nails, she makes me wait. And I wait without you. With or without you. With or without you. Through the storm we reached the shore. You gave it all, but I want more. And I'm waiting for you. With or without you. With or without you. I can't live.
No.
With or without you.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Jim, you sound great. Handed that moments ago when he belted it out for us. Can you please sing a U2 song? No problem. Kerm.
Bono or Kearney Olsen? I'd like to throw it out there right now. What do you think?
Great. You think I'm ready for a cover band? Is that it? You know?
were you moaning?
Yes.
The Edge doesn't moan. Listen, have you ever seen U2 and The Edge starts moaning?
I do my own thing. That song, With or Without You, is very personal. It cuts to the core, and it created a moan. And Jim was so good that I felt it.
I don't know if I believe you.
Man, no, I'm just like back here. I'm drumming. You know, I'm like Larry Mullen, and I'm drumming. And you're like The Edge, but you're moaning.
The Edge
doesn't moan.
No, but the Carm does.
We have a strict no moaning policy here when Jim is singing.
I wasn't aware of that. I was just being myself. I thought I wanted to show my approval of what was going on. What's wrong with that?
I've had many aspirations in my career in regard to singing. Making you moan is
right
never ever been.
No,
that was never. That's never been one of them.
Do you still get, you know?
It's like pleasing and troubling at the same time.
Right. So me texting you last night in late hours and saying, hey, will you come on and sing a couple of U2 songs, that could be a little nerve-wracking. Do you still get nervous when you're in front of 20,000 strong diehard Blackhawk fans who love you? Is that still something that, like, a few butterflies?
Yeah, you know, I'm obviously pretty comfortable in the United Center, but there are times, you know, we play Montreal once a year and Ottawa once a year, and each do a bilingual version of the French anthem, but they each do it differently. So I'm always a little nervous when I walk out for my one time of year of doing Montreal's version of O Canada and then Ottawa's version of O Canada, because it's not like the anthem or even the Canadian anthem, which you do all the time, right?
And do you have a favorite anthem guy, like around the country? Like the I don't know the guy's name, but like in Vancouver, the guy stops singing and he holds the mic out and the crowd jumps
right
in for a big part of it. Is there a particular hockey team you think, boy, they do a great job with their anthem?
I don't spend a lot of time listening to what other people do.
You set the trends, baby. You don't follow them.
I think the Blackhawks have set the trend with this thing, right? Starting in 1985, and it's a great tradition. Obviously, Chicago's a hugely influential market across the country. I feel like I'm sitting in the catbird seat, right?
When Wayne was doing it back in the day, did you ever think, you know what, I would love to get a shot at doing that? I mean, like, it seemed like, you know, like Wayne, he would never leave, like, and he was phenomenal. It's no disrespect at all, but like, were you thinking like, I could do awesome too, let me in there?
Well, so I moved here in 1995,
okay,
and my understanding is that Wayne sang one anthem in the newly built United Center before leaving. So I never heard him in the United Center. I never. I've still never heard him live, by the way. I've heard him on the radio at Cubs games. He does great.
He's
a great singer and a great guy also.
Yeah.
And he sings with his wife a lot.
Yeah, and it's a His story coming back from being shot and still doing it, it's just it was inspirational the way.
When I heard it, it was with his wife, and I thought that was really sweet. It added a nice, just a really nice touch.
It's really cool
to the performance.
It's very cool. So, I don't think I could sing with my wife.
I disagree. You and Wendy would do an incredible job.
Okay, so now we were thinking about like what other Irish song would be great, because it's St. Patrick's Day and we have the greatest national anthem singer in the world here, Carm.
Yeah, I'd like to make a request before we hear the song that in future St. Patrick's Days, if you do go out and get incredibly intoxicated, if you could keep the vomit away from WGN radio, that'd be really sweet.
Has somebody hurled?
Yes, right out front. It's really I feel like I could smell it through two glasses right now. I mean, that would just, you know, this is the thing. Like, I know it's St. Patty's Day, but just, you know, there's bathrooms. Uh-huh. There you can get home.
Did you see it happen? Aftermath?
I saw it about to happen, and now they're gone, and the aftermath is out there. So if you want to come visit the Allstate Showcase Studio, today's not the day.
This is why you turned your back to the street. Huh?
Yes.
And you're not being unfriendly to people.
No, I love the people. It's like the best part of being in this studio, but this is a rough moment. Now we can get back on track. I had to get that off my chest, Sarah. I'm sorry.
I'm not really used to like audience throwing up,
like literally showing you like, is the show really that bad? It certainly wasn't Jim singing. It might
no not at all. Jim right. singing is saving it.
Okay, so what are we doing now? This is a big moment.
Yes.
Too
well, I'm gonna join you. I'm gonna stand with you.
Okay.
Great.
Jim Cornelison, Blackhawks national anthem singer on Twitter @anthem_singer.
Okay, so we're doing the Irish national anthem, a soldier song.
Awesome.
We'll sing a song, a soldier's song, with cheering, rousing chorus, as round our blazing fires we throng, the starry heavens o'er us, impatient for the coming fight. And as we wait the morning's light, here in the silence of the night, we'll chant a soldier's song. Soldiers are we, whose lives are pledged to Ireland. Some have come from a land beyond the wave, sworn to be free, no more our ancient Ireland shall shelter the despot or the slave. Tonight we man the Barnabale, in Erin's cause come woe or will, mid cannons roar and rifles peal, we'll chant a soldier's song.
Yeah! I mean, they're on the street in the middle of all the vomit. They're still clapping for you out there. This is amazing.
I want to see Taves take a face off right now.
That was awesome. Great job, Jim.
That's cool, man. One day we should just like go around the world
and do some anthems.
Yeah,
that could be fun. I think I spent some time listening to some different national anthems a few years back, and you hate to say anything bad about somebody's, but I think this is a great one. This soldier song, you know. I mean, you know, our country's no longer going to shelter the despot or the slave, and you think of the history there, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just attaches to what are some really strong, actually, American values.
Every Irish person I know is awesome. I don't know one Irish person who's not totally cool.
Let me think about that.
Yeah, I was actually doing inventory there. Like, really? Every single
Coley Newell is awesome. The Terminator, Michael Malley's awesome.
Okay.
They're all
okay.
Awesome, yeah.
Okay. Listen.
You know Terminator. You know
Coley, too.
I think it's funny that me and Jim both were like, well, hold on a second here.
Wait a minute.
We got to be accurate here. There's got to be good and bad everywhere,
Harry. The Edge is awesome because he doesn't moan when, Bono's singing.
Hey, I'm just being me. When I eat a good cheeseburger, it's like the highest form of compliment I can give to the product if I have a moan. And if someone's singing that beautifully, if I moan, that's a confirmation, Harry. That's a true story, Jim. Know that.
Let's get his girlfriend on the phone.
All right.
Tomorrow night, Blackhawks Blues. Bowden's got your pregame at 6. Hawks Blues, 6:30 right here on WGN.
Jim, thank you for coming by. That was awesome. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.